welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church, Bartlesham, Illinois.
Enjoy your service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. This is the third Sunday after Pentecost. It is a beautiful day that God has granted to us. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Every time we gather together as God's people around His Word and Sacrament, that is a blessed day. And so we are thankful that you're here joining us, either in person or watching this at home online. We are also very thankful today that we get to witness a baptism. So we have Case Everett Tolley over there. That's Kurt and Caitlin Tolley's new little son, and he's going to be welcomed into God's kingdom this morning. We're so thankful for that. And so that is going to take place right after our confession and absolution today. We are in Divine Service Setting 2, which is in your hymnal on page 167, but you might also want to mark page 268. That will be where our baptismal liturgy will take place. I'll invite you to stand as we begin with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Congregation may be seated. And at this time, I'll invite Case and his parents and his godparents. If you would join me up here and just make a little semicircle up here. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. How is this child named? Case Everett Tolley, receive the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Case according to your boundless mercy and bless him with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in him, which has been inherited from Adam and which he himself has committed since, would be drowned and die. Grant that he be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, he would be declared worthy of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From ancient times, the churches observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates and catechumens. In the Evangelical Lutheran Church, sponsors are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. They are to pray for them, support them in their ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage them toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. They are at all times to be examples to them of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. So Case's parents have chosen 4 godparents for him. We have Alyssa and Jade here to serve as official Lutheran sponsors, and we also have Amy and Jason here to serve as official witnesses. I'm going to ask all 4 of you, having heard these important responsibilities, is it your intention to serve Case and support him in the Christian faith? If so, say yes with the help of God. God enable you to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with his grace fulfill what we are unable to do. Amen. Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord preserve your coming in and your going out from this time forth, and even forevermore. Amen. Let's proceed up here to the font. Now, because Case is unable to speak for himself, I'm going to ask the entire congregation to respond to the following questions on his behalf. Case, do you renounce the devil? Yes, I renounce him. Do you renounce all his works?
Yes, I renounce.
Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried? He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting? In case, do you desire to be baptized? Okay. Case Everett Tolley, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good job, buddy. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace unto life everlasting. Amen. I'm going to give that to you, Dad. Receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ and be ever watchful for his coming, that you may meet him with joy and enter with him into the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which shall have no end. I encourage you guys to keep that candle in a safe place and light it every year on June 13th to remind Case of his baptism day. One of the most ancient understandings of baptism in the history of the Christian church is that when a person is brought to the font, they are given a new name. So the name of Christ, the name of our triune God, is placed upon us. We become part of his kingdom. But it's also been a historical thing in the history of the church that when we baptize, it's also important to recognize the significance of a child's given name. So I was thinking about the name Case. I know around here that has certain implications for what color tractor you drive. And maybe Case will be a farmer, right? But I also noticed that the name Case, originally when people started giving that name to children, it originally derived from the name Casey, which is actually an Irish name. And the name Casey means something like vigilant or watchful. And I think that's great because that's what baptism does. By creating faith in us and welcoming us into God's kingdom, we become watchful for all of the things that God is doing in our lives, and not just here and now, but we also become watchful for the last day, for the hope that we have because we are baptized children of God, that one day we will stand before his throne. And so that's what our prayer is for Case, that he'll always be vigilant and watchful for those blessings from God. I'm going to invite our elder Bill to share a welcome on behalf of the congregation.
In holy baptism, God the Father has made you, Case, a member of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir with us of all the treasures of heaven and the one holy Christian Apostolic Church. We receive you in Jesus' name as our brother in Christ, that together we might hear his word, receive his gifts, and proclaim the praise of him who calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we respond.
Amen. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. And let's give thanks to God for Case with a round of applause. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family and have granted Case the new birth and holy baptism and made him a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as he has now become your child, you would keep him in his baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, he may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name. And finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And peace be with you. Amen. You may return to your seats, and the congregation is going to sing a baptismal hymn, number 592. Dearest Jesus, we are here. Please stand. Our service continues now with the introit, which is printed on the inside cover of your bulletin. We speak these words responsively by half verse. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. The righteous flourish like the palm tree. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They still bear fruit in old age. To declare that the Lord is upright. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
Sing praises to your name, Most High.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day, which is printed below the introit. We pray, Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading appointed for the third Sunday after Pentecost comes to us from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 17, beginning with verse 22. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree and make high the low tree, dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord, I have spoken, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak the gradual responsively, printed on the inside cover of the bulletin. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. On your wondrous works I will meditate. And I will the epistle reading is from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. We know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the fourth chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up, and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. Our sermon hymn today is number 892. Come, ye thankful people, come. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the gospel reading from Mark chapter 4, which gives us two short parables of Jesus. He's teaching us in both parables about the kingdom of God. In both parables, he's talking about the growth of that kingdom and comparing the kingdom of God to a seed that is sown and a seed that grows. He uses this imagery basically to make two points. The first point is that God causes his kingdom to grow, and he doesn't need our help to do it. It happens because God makes it happen. The second point is that this kingdom doesn't always look very impressive or big or important in the world, and yet because God is the one causing it to grow, this kingdom grows large, so large, in fact, that it gives shelter and it gives protection to all humankind, all those who believe in him and become part of his kingdom through faith in Jesus Christ. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, both of these parables that Jesus teaches here in Mark chapter 4 are the kinds of parables that might not be difficult to understand per se, but even if we comprehend all of the words that Jesus is using, what these words still do is they reveal the fact that we still don't know a whole lot about the mystery of how God operates in his kingdom. And given the fact that Jesus uses this image of a seed, he's comparing the kingdom, the reign of God, to seeds. I will tell you, it's a little intimidating for me to stand here in the pulpit as this dude from Connecticut who's never farmed a day in his life, talking to people about seeds growing, right? People who have a lot more experience and a lot more know-how than I do in terms of making things grow. You know, this is one of my jobs as a pastor, to be able to take the Word of God and preach it in ways that are relevant. And I know sometimes people come to church expecting to hear something new or get a new insight that they've never heard before about a certain passage. But for me, if I'm going to try to explain more about what Jesus is talking about here, I could read this parable 100 times. I could open up my Greek New Testament and parse out every single word and the meaning of every single word. I could have all the seminary education and theological education in the world, but there's only really a couple of things that are going to help me understand this passage in a more personal way. And it's when I put the books away and I go out in my backyard and I have my vegetable garden back there, just a little vegetable garden, or it's when I go out in the front and I try to take care of the flowers on the front porch. It's only going to be those kinds of personal experiences, growing things, that can really help us to understand what Jesus is getting at here in these parables. But I'll tell you, even though I don't personally farm hundreds of acres of ground like some of you do, I still think some of the more experienced farmers among us might raise their eyebrows at some of the things that Jesus is teaching, particularly in this first parable. We don't really have a really fancy name for this first parable, so we might call it the parable of the automatic seed, something like that. Basically, what Jesus says in this parable is that the kingdom of God is like a seed that grows by itself without any help or knowledge of the farmer whatsoever. So basically, the farmer in this parable sits around and does nothing until the harvest comes. Sounds pretty good, right? I think it's interesting, too, that this passage has come up for us right here in the middle of June. Right here in this kind of in-between time, after planting, but maybe still a couple weeks away from the wheat harvest. So you could say, well, look, Jesus says it right here. Mark chapter 4, verse 27, I don't have to do anything. Forget about all the spraying and all the other things that you guys have been doing out in the fields. Jesus says all you got to do is go to sleep and rise up night and day and just wait for the harvest to come. Sounds pretty good. But then again, that's why we don't take farming advice from preachers. So I think rather than going on and on about a subject that I don't really personally know much about, I want to switch gears entirely. I want to get to the heart of this parable, but use a completely different image, something that I have a little bit more experience with. And the image that I'm going to use is barbecue. So I read a tweet a little while ago, it kind of went viral a few months ago, that said, when a man approaches their 35th birthday, you pretty much have to choose one of two paths in life. Either you have to get really into like World War II history or something like that, or you have to get really into smoking various meats. And here I am, I'm 6 months shy of my 35th birthday, and my path has been chosen for me. Because my confirmands this spring gave me, as a class gift, a Masterbuilt electric smoker. And I have been really getting into it. In fact, I have declared at the parsonage, this is the summer of smoke. My parents are visiting this weekend, so I was using the smoker just the other day. I was smoking a pork butt for us to enjoy. It was really tasty. But I was doing that, I was thinking about how this parable could be retold using that particular image. So if we were going to do that, it would probably sound something like this. The kingdom of God is as if a man took a beef brisket and put it in the smoker, and decided to cook it low and slow. Low meaning at low temperatures, something around like 225 to 250. And slow meaning it's going to take a long time, probably 75 to 90 minutes per pound. And as that brisket cooks, the man may go and check on it every once in a while, right? He's going to make sure to take care of the fire. He's going to make sure that the smoke is working the way that he wants it to. But brisket is notorious for having a moment when it hits about 150 degrees internal temperature and it hits what's called the stall. And the stall lasts quite a while. Sometimes the stall can be 2 to 3 hours. Sometimes it can be 6 to 7 hours where you don't really see that temperature rising much at all. But if that man becomes impatient with the stall and keeps going out to check on it, keeps opening the door, one of the things they say is, if you're looking, you ain't cooking. And as that door opens, the temperature keeps going back down, and he's going to make this last a whole lot longer than it needs to. But if the man trusts the process, trusts that things will work the way they are supposed to work, then eventually that meat will rise in temperature again, and it'll hit that sweet spot, like right around 203 degrees Fahrenheit, where everything is just real nice and tender. It probes like room temperature butter, and it is delicious. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, Mark does tell us at the end of this passage that Jesus spoke to the people in parables, but he would always explain the parables to his own disciples. So I'm not going to leave you hanging here. But the parable of the smoked brisket and the parable of the automatic seed, even though they use completely different images, they teach the same thing about the kingdom of God. And the point is that God does not need our help in order to make his kingdom grow. In fact, it happens whether we choose to participate or not. And it oftentimes happens in spite of our efforts. We have a profoundly limited vantage point as sinful human beings. We don't always understand why God chooses to do things the way that he chooses to do them. And sometimes it seems to us like God isn't doing anything, like he's stalling. And so we're tempted to get really impatient with God and frustrated with God at times. So maybe that happens on a personal level when we don't get the answers to prayer that we're hoping for right away, or maybe when we're working on some sort of personal project or trying to achieve certain goals in life, things that we really, really care about, things that we think are going to improve our lives, make our lives so much better, but for some reason we just keep hitting setback after setback and we keep running into all these roadblocks and we start to think, maybe God just doesn't want me to be happy. Maybe if I'm going to achieve my goals, I've got to do it all by myself without God's help entirely. Sometimes maybe this happens on a corporate congregational ministry level. Whenever we work in our church, in our school, to spread the gospel to our community, we come up with all these different strategic ways to do that. We try to be as creative as possible, but for whatever reason, maybe we're just not seeing the results that we had hoped for. And we start to get impatient. But it's just like waiting for a seed to grow. It's just like waiting for a brisket to cook and get through the stall. The ministry of God's kingdom is low and slow oftentimes. If we become impatient, if we stop trusting the process, especially if we stop trusting the Lord himself, oftentimes the actions that we are tempted to take will actually be counterproductive to what we think should actually be happening. But let's not forget that there's another parable in here. And it's another seed parable. But I don't think that the second parable really requires the knowledge or experience of a farmer to truly understand. This is the famous parable of the mustard seed. Starting here in verse 30, Jesus is talking about how even though a mustard seed is very, very small, in fact, he calls it the smallest of all of the seeds on earth, when it grows, it becomes larger than any of the other garden plants. In fact, it becomes so large that even birds can be nesting in its branches. Jesus is making the point that the kingdom of God is often the same way. It's often viewed as being small and insignificant, just like that little mustard seed. And it's really no surprise, because when you think about how that kingdom of God has broken into this world, it breaks into the world with Jesus. And Jesus looks kind of small and insignificant in the world. Jesus is the one who just seems like he's this nobody from Nazareth. He's a guy whose closest followers are people like fishermen and a tax collector. He's a guy who, yes, has some followers, people who are listening to his teachings, but most of the people Jesus encounters are people that reject him, people who hate him. This is Jesus who was betrayed by Judas and denied by Peter and died alone on a cross. And if this is God's idea of what a great king or a great kingdom would look like, most people aren't going to give Jesus and his kingdom a second thought. Most people aren't going to see it as being even more important than just a teeny tiny little insignificant mustard seed. But what we know is that God takes the lowly things of this world and exalts them and raises them up, and that Jesus himself is the mustard seed who was raised up first on Easter and then raised up on the day of the ascension. And this Jesus has established a kingdom that has become this huge tree on earth that covers over the whole earth, so that all these different kinds of birds, all these different kinds of people can take shelter, can take refuge in his branches. The beauty of that kingdom is that you and I don't have to go seeking for it. We don't have to go looking for it. It's not up to us to earn our way into it or anything like that. God's kingdom comes to us as a free gift. It comes to people who are just as insignificant, or even less so, than teeny tiny little mustard seeds. It comes to people who could never be worthy of it by our nature. And you know, you really can't get a better example of that than what we saw just earlier in the service with little Case over there. Because that baptism really is a parable in and of itself. The kingdom of heaven is like when a baby is brought to a baptismal font, a teeny tiny little baby, right? Tiny like a mustard seed. A baby who cannot do much of anything. He can't speak for himself. He can't make a decision. He can't do good works in order to earn his baptism. He can't do the things that the rest of us can do. And yet God, in his mercy, comes to this child, plants that seed in his heart, and causes it to grow. God, in his mercy, has welcomed Case into his kingdom. God, in his mercy, has welcomed you into his kingdom. God, in his mercy, has breathed new life into us. It's so simple. And it might not make sense to the rest of the world, but the common thread that runs through all of these parables, the automatic seed, the mustard seed, the parable of the smoked brisket, the parable of the child who's baptized, the common thread through all of these parables is the fact that God's way is the best way. So the ministry of God's kingdom is often low and slow. It often appears that way in the world, but it's also certain and it's sure. We might have to be patient. Sometimes it's not the easiest thing to do, but when God is in control, the end results are always worth the wait. The seed will sprout. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn shall appear, just as we just sang. The harvest will come, and God's people will dwell secure in his kingdom forever. And so we trust the process, but more importantly, we trust our Savior. We rest in his unfailing grace. In his most precious name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Because the creed was included in our baptismal liturgy, we will omit it at this point in the service, and we will continue now with the prayer of the church. We do have a number of updates for you on the prayer list today. First, we are going to be lifting up Roland Schnicker in prayer. He's recovering from surgery. It was a successful surgery to remove a benign mass from his cheek. And so we're glad that you're here today, Roland. We're also lifting up in prayer Lorna Grody. She is currently hospitalized, receiving therapy there in the hospital after suffering a recent fall and hurting her back. This is not in the prayer list today, not printed there, but we're going to be lifting up today the family of Dennis Hoogie. That's the brother of Sarah Hoogie, who passed away on Thursday after battling with cancer for the last 5 years. Finally, we are lifting up the Beerbaum family today, as Tim Beerbaum has accepted a call to teach up in Shawano, Wisconsin, so we'll pray for a smooth transition for you and blessings on your ministry. Please stand. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Most High, we give thanks to you that you have planted your holy word among us. Give healthy growth to your church that she may weather the storm winds of this world, steadfast in Christ, ever bearing the fruits of love and singing praises to your name. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, your Holy Spirit plants your word and causes it to sprout and grow as it pleases you. Bless the preaching and teaching of your word, that your kingdom may be extended, and give us thankful hearts to marvel at your work. Send faithful laborers into your fields to scatter your seed here and abroad, that in due time a harvest may be reaped for your glory. Bless the efforts of our partners in mission and ministry, especially Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and our sister congregation, Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Centralia, as their congregation continues working through a very lengthy call process. We pray that you would lead them to the man you have chosen to be their next pastor, and bless the efforts of vacancy pastor Miguel Tornieri. Lord, we also lift before you the Beerbaum family, Tim, Pam, Nikolai, and Faith, as you have led Tim to accept your call to teach in Shawano, Wisconsin. Bless their move and transition. Keep them safe as they travel. Bless Christ Our Rock Lutheran School and also Emmanuel Lutheran School in Oakville as they now seek new teacher and new principal for this next school year. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Lord, ruler of all, graciously regard those who have been set in positions of authority among us. Guide them by your Spirit to be high in purpose, wise in counsel, firm in good resolution, and unwavering in duty, that under them we may be governed quietly and peaceably. Guide and protect those who serve in the armed forces, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, we give you thanks for all of the blessings you grant to us. We rejoice along with those who are rejoicing, especially those who are celebrating birthdays this week. Alan, Virgil, Frank, Emmy, Stephen, Michael, Mason, and Rick. We also praise your name for the gifts of marriage and family. Ask you to bless all married couples of our congregation, especially those who are celebrating special anniversaries, including Dylan and Lacey York. We also glorify your name for the new life you have granted to us in holy baptism. And we once again ask you to be with Case Everett Tolley as he now grows in your kingdom each and every day. Guide him to become the man of God you would have him to be. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we are bold to ask for all things because you have given us your Spirit as a guarantee. Hear us as we intercede in Jesus' name for those in every need, especially those who are on our prayer list, including those in care facilities, Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Esther, Bessie, Brian, and Jim. We lift Rollin before your throne as he recovers from his surgery. We lift Lorna before your throne as she is currently hospitalized and receiving therapy. And also be with all those with ongoing health needs and concerns. Robert, Chad, Fran, Marvin, Harley, Amy, Beulah, Verdell, Ray, Wayne, Richard, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Orville, Linda, Marvin, Francis, Chris, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Gretchen, Diane, all those who are fighting cancer. Lord, in your mercy. O God, we groan under many burdens in this earthly tent and long to be clothed with your eternal life, which will swallow up all mortal sorrow. Give good courage to your servants, especially those who mourn the death of Dennis Hugie and all of his family and friends, to walk by faith, not sight, to mourn in the hope of the resurrection, to make it our aim to please you while here in the body until at last we are at home with Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Father, from Israel you have taken a tender sprig, your chosen Messiah, Jesus, and planted him on the mountain for our salvation. By his death on a tree, you have reversed the curse of sin and brought life again to dry, dusty souls. Do not let us despise your Christ, his humility, or his suffering, but bring us with all your Christians into the shade of his eternal rest. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. At this time, I will invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Please stand. We sing together the offertory on page 176. Service of the sacrament now continues on page 177. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Please stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We sing together our post-communion canticle, Thank the Lord, on page 181. The Lord. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. The closing hymn is number 923, Almighty Father, Bless the Word. Please stand. You may be seated. Good morning. Just a few announcements before we leave today. I wanted to let you know about a few things that are going on. First, we started a brand new Sunday morning Bible study series this morning that we're calling The Good Shepherd. And we're going to take a look at different ways that God describes himself as our Good Shepherd from both the Old and New Testament. That's going to be every Sunday morning at 8:30, so that's right here in the sanctuary. We hope you can join us for some of those future studies. And if you miss one, they're also going to be available on Facebook to watch, either live from home or on demand at your convenience. So that's something new that we get to do from now on, which is great. Vacation Bible School is coming very, very soon, and this week is the week that we are getting set up for it in the gym. We do need some help with the setup, and there's a few different times. They're listed there in the bulletin for you. If anyone is available to help tonight, this evening at 6 p.m., we'll be over in the gym helping to set some things up, or either tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., or tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. If any of those times work for you, would you please consider coming to help out? And if you have any questions, please speak with Michelle Grathwall. She's over there in the back. Tomorrow night is also meeting night, so stewardship at 6 o'clock, Board of Ed at 6:30, elders at 7:30 tomorrow evening. This coming Wednesday, we're going to continue our Sunday morning lectionary Bible study. So it's a Wednesday morning study looking ahead at the following Sunday and the three readings that are coming up. So that will be 9:15 here in the sanctuary. If you miss it in person, you can join us online for those as well. And the last thing that I wanted to bring to your attention is that in the narthex, we have directory sheets. So Jane is working on updating the directories, and we want to make sure we have the most accurate information possible. So if any of you have changed your address or phone number, or if someone in your family has, and if you could provide the most up-to-date information for us, we would really greatly appreciate that. And you can talk to Jane if you have any questions about that. Are there any other announcements today? Okay, well, God's blessings on the rest of your day and the rest of this week. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.